This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Welcome back. Cap and J-Hood show. Brian Hanley in for Hoodie, who's on vacay. I'm David Kaplan. I coached college basketball. I know, like, everyone in the sport. I've never met Wayne Tinkle. I've never interviewed him. And I'm a huge fan of him. Like, I watch, he was at Montana. I watch Oregon State. And that guy can flat out coach. I'm just telling you. When they struggled early, like, that guy can coach. And that's why I had made some wagers on them early in the tournament. Now they get Loyola, and he's a Chicago guy, and I think it's just a cool storyline. And Coach Tinkle joins us now from Indianapolis. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. So, you know, I don't think people realized until the last couple days this story's been told. You're a Cubs fan. Your dad was dean of students there. You grew up on the Loyola campus. So what does it mean to you to not only be in the Sweet 16, but to play them?
Well, it's been such an incredible run. All that we've been through. When I saw Loyola beat Illinois, I'm sitting there knowing that if we got past Oklahoma State, that's who we're playing. It just hit me, and all the memories and emotions came back. You know, going to work with my dad. You know, all the Evans scholars and you know, President Baumhart, who was the president at the time. I mean, at our house all the time for dinner. It just brought back some great memories. You know, my childhood running around Elmwood Park and Highland Park, all the friends. It's pretty emotional. Again, I said it's all about the players, but it's a neat story for me and my family.
And Wayne, when you look at the players, both teams well-coached, as Cap said, obviously. But that Loyola team took one of the most efficient offenses in Illinois, ninth in the nation, and held them to 0.88 points per possession. And I'm watching that game, and I'm like, this is a coaching clinic. When you're watching that game tape, was it a coaching clinic?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Porter does a great job, but, Brad's a heck of a coach and had a great year. It just, you know, sometimes matchups, just don't work out in your favor. And Loyola played great. I mean, they really executed their game plan. Obviously, some of the studs for Illinois didn't have their best game, but you've got to give credit to Loyola. So I think it's a combination of executing the game plan and maybe some guys not having the kind of game they expected. But we know we've got our hands full. You know, they've been here. They've got a couple guys on their team that were part of that Final Four run. And so we've got nothing but respect. But, you know, our guys, they've been playing with a lot of confidence, you know. And you know, we took on a tough Tennessee and then Oklahoma State team. You look at the gauntlet we ran through in the Pac-12 tournament, beating UCLA, Oregon, and Colorado, all teams that made the tournament, two of which are still in it. So we're going to be confident on Saturday, and you know, if our guys can go out and execute our plan, I think we'll give ourselves a chance.
When I watch your team play, I watch different teams. That's, you know, everybody that gets to this level can coach. They're all good coaches. But it seems, though, your guys value the ball more than others. Some coaches are like, I'm all right with 15 turnovers. It seems as though your guys value each possession like, hey, man, that's gold. What is your philosophy on that?
No, it goes back to the way I learned the game, you know, it, the family tree, coaching tree at Montana, you know, from Judd Heathcote to Mike Montgomery, Stu Morrill, and on and on. I mean, if you turn that thing over, you know, you're running stairs, you're running lines, you got to value that thing. And so that's just what we instill. I mean, when we start practice and we start scrimmaging, we put a few balls on the rack, and every time there's a turnover, we take one off. And when you get to none on the rack, you start running. And so we turned it over way too much against Oklahoma State, but shoot, they were as athletic and aggressive a team as we'd seen in a while. But we were tops in the country in assisted turnover ratio and assisted made field goals. So when we execute our stuff and value the ball, that's when we play at a high level. But I tell you what's turned it around is, you know, on the defensive end, We were number one in the Pac-12 in three-point defensive field goal percentage. Our guys bought into D, and then that inside-out balance offensively, and that big part of you know how we turned the year around.
I think Bill Raftery actually referenced Red Kerr when he saw Krutwig with his passing and everything else. I thought of Tom Boerwinkel, Wayne. Roman Silva's going to have – they run everything seemingly through Krutwig, so Roman Silva seemingly will have that assignment. What's he going to be looking at?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, he's such a talented player. You know, he's really got great footwork around the basket. He can pass and handle that thing out on the perimeter. So we just – you know, we've got to put different guys on them. We've got to change coverages, you know, keep them guessing because they're so good if they get, you know, you saw them against Illinois get into, you know, their routine as far as executing what they do. We feel like we've got to try to disrupt that a little bit, you know, and it starts with him, but, you know, they've also got some shooters. They got some guys that can put it on the deck. So, you know, we're a team that changes defenses. So, you know, hopefully, you know, if we're out there executing, playing the way we're capable, we'll keep them, you know, off rhythm and from getting into a groove.
So you guys were picked 11th before the season by the polyester mafia that I like to call the media that covers it.
And 12th. We were picked 12th.
Oh, 12th.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So do you, here you are, you're in the Sweet 16. Everyone's going, boy, that team's really well coached. They're really good. Do you acknowledge that to your team when the season opens? You come back from pre-pandemic, you'd go to media day. Now you do it virtually, but you call the team together and go, okay, here's what they think of us. They picked us 12th. Or do you not acknowledge it?
No. You know, our guys, shoot, they hang on everything they see in social media, and you know, which we try to combat. But, you know, they knew it, and we just said, hey, I think it's a big part of because of what we lost. My son Trace, who's Oregon State's all-time leading scorer, I think he's in the top 10 in seven different categories. He graduated. Kyler Kelly was, you know, our career blocks leader. So we lost a lot, and I think part of it was because of that. And then they didn't have much familiarity with who we were bringing in, and then they knew we had a lot of young guys coming back. So we just said, hey, they don't know much about us. Let's prove them wrong. Well, you know, we suffer a couple of tough losses, you know, because of the late start. We had a lot of injuries through the month of October and early November. So we had out of our first 40, we had our whole team. The rest, we always had at least two guys out. So chemistry and all that. And then we just had a couple of come to Jesus meetings once we got into the new year, suffered some tough losses in league after a COVID pause. And we just said, we're not going down like this. You know, you guys have to get on our page, start doing things our way. You've tried it your way. Look where we're at. Let's turn it around. And I didn't say it so eloquently. And the guys responded. You know, they responded to their credit. They've really been performing. We put a huge premium on playing through the post. We weren't doing that early on. And that's where, you know, another big part of it. You know, we started getting better shots from the three-point line, because defense was having to, you know, collapse a little bit, you know, and those numbers went up. So I credit our guys for their buy-in, for the maturity throughout the year and really responding to adversity.
Is from a coach's perspective, what was the biggest or is the biggest challenge remaining going through this COVID and trying? I mean, it's a different world for you when you're trying to get a team through a season.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got the challenges. They don't get the same. I mean, even same time with each other, it's, Once we leave the practice court, they're back to their apartments or their dorms. You know, we don't have team meals together. It's all grab and go. You know, so there's so much stress on them. There's no release. You know, usually they can hang out, even team meals. You know, bring the team to the house. You know, take them bowling. All of those things you try to do as a coach to keep their minds fresh, you know, to get them, you know, to kind of recharge the batteries. The time with family when we're on the road and, you know, we go down to Southern California. We got a lot of L.A. kids. They couldn't visit with their families. So we've just got to stay in constant communication, you know, try to keep them up. I think early in the year I was probably too soft on the guys, you know, for you know, just being hypersensitive to all they were going through. You know, and we got into league. That quickly went out the window. But, you know, we just had to have a lot more care and concern for their well-being. And, our guys responded. I mean, there was times that I had to walk a guy, put my arm around and walk him out of practice, and talk to him in the hallway because, you know, he had gotten a little bit of a bump on the head and kind of started to, you know, break down a little bit. And just all the pressure and everything thrown at these guys, not just because of COVID or the academics or the hoops, but, you know, social justice issues. And so we really had to wear a lot of hats, and I'm just extremely blessed that I'm surrounded by great people at Oregon State and have an incredible coaching staff, that can really help us through all that.
We're talking to Wayne Tingle, head coach at Oregon State. They'll play Loyola, and this city, as you can imagine, is really excited of what Porter Moser and Loyola has been able to accomplish. But you're also, because you're a Chicago guy at heart, a diehard Cubs fan. So you took your son, Trez, who you said was the all-time leading scorer in school history. But in 2016, you said, we're going back to Chicago. We're going to Wrigley. What was that season like for you? Because 108 years was insane.
Oh, I'm telling you, I was so emotional when they won that thing. Watching, I was, oddly enough, I was home alone watching that thing. And then I've stopped social media shortly thereafter. But, you know, I'm tweeting stuff out. I mean, I'm calling my best friends. I called Bill Murray's son, who's an assistant coach at Louisville.
Yep.
My buddy Jeff Ament, who's with Pearl Jam, the bass guitarist, you know, he's not a huge Cub fan, but I know Eddie Vedder is. I mean, I'm talking to all my buddies, and we're just getting emotional because we had hoped that in our lifetime we would see them, you know, win that thing, and to see it happen was just incredible and brought back so many great memories of when we would go to the Cubs games. And like I said, back then, you know, the cheapest ticket was out in the bleachers. I know that's changed, but, we'd hang out and have a lot of fun. I mean, I remember back to, you know, Jose Cardinal and the guy selling peanuts out in left field, the way he chanted his name, and Yvonne DeJesus. And then I'm a big Ryne Sandberg fan because we moved out to Spokane, you know, and that's where he played high school ball, where he grew up. So it was just, you know, like our boy Riz said, I was a glass case of emotions.
Yeah, and so I did 25 years in a row. I was the host of their pre and post game. I was in Cleveland that night, and I got into this because I wanted to be there when they won. And I didn't think it would take as long as it did. But, Wayne, I'm literally there. The game ends. First of all, I almost threw up when he hit the home run, Rajay Davis.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it ends, and my dad did not live to see it. And I just pointed at the sky, and in my ear, they're like, all right, we're on in 5 seconds. And I pointed at the sky, Dad, we did it. And I had tears, literally had tears. And people were like, really? Yes.
No, it's incredible, and I was the same, and I had people saying, are you getting emotional? I said, if you don't know, you don't know.
Right.
You know, and
well said.
Same thing. I mean, my dad was a Detroit guy, but he was a big Tigers fan, but then all the years in Chicago, you know, he obviously flipped, and I did the same thing, and I remember looking up in my living room, can you believe we did it? And anybody that has any peace, feels like, you know, they had a hand in that thing, and we feel, you know, that we deserved it because of the loyalty, I think. And, I know they're going to turn things around. A good buddy of mine who was a strength and conditioning intern at Oregon State, walked on the football team his senior year as the strength coach for them now, Shane Wallen. So he hosted us when we went back, Trace and I, last summer, 2 summers ago. And we had a great time. And I couldn't believe, you know, 2016 when we went, how Wrigleyville, oh my goodness. I mean,
oh boy.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything like that when we were going in the late 70s. So it's so neat to see, how the city has rallied around. Well, they'd rally around all their sports teams. We went to a couple Blackhawks games back in the day, obviously the Bears at Soldier Field. But that's what makes Chicago awesome. And people that haven't been there, they don't get it when you tell them about the, you know, at Oregon State, we talk to people, say, give us one word that explains what you're about. It's authenticity, and man, that's the same for Chicago. I mean, so many incredible, down-to-earth people that genuinely care for each other. It's pretty unusual to see, but it's always great when we get back and get to get another taste of that.
Coach, we appreciate your time. One last thing. So the coach at Oral Roberts was doing his press conference and said he went to get a haircut in Las Vegas, and he got into an altercation with Kevin Bacon. Yes, Kevin Bacon was getting a facial, and he goes, Kevin Bacon gets facials? And he fired on him, and Kevin Bacon went right back at him, and they get into this. Have you ever had an altercation with somebody famous?
No, I can't say that I have. I'd like to make up some kind of story, but I've been in plenty of altercations, but not with anybody famous.
Well, you have a wonderful day, and thank you for taking time. And someday I want to come play in your pro-am at Bandon Dunes because I hear it's amazing.
Oh, hey, I'm there in 3 weeks. 3 weeks, 3-day pro-am.
Oh.
So anytime you get out that way, let me know.
We'll team
Let's
up.
Let's have a beer at Bruno's.
Great being
right?
with you guys.
You too.
Right.
Have a great
Thanks,
day.
All right. Thank you.
There Bye he now. Is, Wayne Tinkle, the head coach at Oregon State.
What a guy.
What a man. Great dude,
Wouldn't
man.
Wouldn't you love to have a couple beers with him?
Yes. Can you imagine going out playing Bandon Dunes with that guy?
Wow.
He plays a lot of golf.
Boy, it's tough to root against Oregon State after hearing Wayne.
Right.
Boy, like, what a guy.
Like, I recruited Porter when I was a college coach. Didn't get him, but, like, I love Porter. He's a dear friend. How do you root against that guy other than the Loyola game? That guy's awesome.
Yeah, terrific. Authentic is right.
So, anyway, Twitch, you can watch our show, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, brought to you by Marquee Sports Network. Hey, are leftovers in your refrigerator free game for your kids or for anyone in the house, especially if the kids don't live at home anymore? They show up and you've got your leftovers and all of a sudden they think they can just eat them. Can they? 312-332-3776. Brian and I will talk about that next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome back, Cap Jay Hood with Brian Hanley. I'm David Kaplan. Hoodie on vacation, as is Danny, JR, and Jeff Meller. So, hope you guys all have a good time. All right, so Brian, I cook dinner like 6 nights a week at the house because my wife gets home way later than I do.
Sure.
And so I cook. And last night, I made macadamia nut crusted chicken.
Macadamia nut crusted chicken. I've never had that. It sounds kind of good.
It's amazing. So I take macadamia nuts. I have the food processor. I grind them up. I dip the chicken breasts in egg wash.
Yeah,
egg wash so it'll stick. I put the macadamia nut crust on it, and then I have a spray bottle of hot pepper olive oil for a little kick, a little
Ooh,
spray on there.
Fancy.
Bake it for about 16 to 18 minutes at 425. Anyway.
Do you have an air fryer?
I do have that, too.
Yeah, I like that. I've fallen in love with my air fryer.
Yeah, they're awesome. So I make that. I make cauliflower rice and broccoli. It's a great meal.
Good Lord.
Yes.
Look at you, Chef Cap.
Every day. And there's 2 pieces of chicken left. And we're empty nesters. None of our kids live at home anymore. And our son and his wife are coming home, I believe, today.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to come by the house. And I so want that chicken for my lunch. It was that good. I love that chicken. And I'm afraid when I get home, Garrett will have already commandeered it. Since they don't live there anymore, it wasn't a family meal, are my leftovers off limits?
Are they just stopping by to say hi, or are they staying the night?
I don't know the plans yet. I don't know if they're staying with us or my daughter-in-law's parents.
I think it's fair game. He's your son. He grew up. That's his house. He grew up in. I mean, that goes up to the old room and everything.
It's like he has a room that we've turned into a guest room. Like,
but, I mean, that was the house he grew up in.
Yes.
So I mean, he's got free run of the place. That's his house.
Yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't have free run of the house. He could go use whatever he wants. But my leftovers, he could just come in and just destroy my leftovers.
Is his childhood bed still in the house?
No.
Mm.
Then it's a no-go for me. Once the childhood bed's out,
he took his bed with him when he left, and they live in Pittsburgh, although they're moving home in May. And, like, my wife turned the other bedrooms into, like, repainted them, new beds, and they're guest rooms. And I don't think I have to write on the leftovers.
Do not touch.
Do not touch belongs to David.
like the fridge at the office?
Right.
Yeah, because how many times, you know, people just kind of go, hey, that looks good. I didn't bring my lunch. I'll take somebody else's. Yeah.
Right.
Do not touch.
Correct. So
Tyler Aki's rule of thumb, once the childhood bed goes, does he have a key to the place?
Yeah, he has a key and he has the code to get in. Yeah.
Okay, that chicken's gone.
No question. He's
you better pick up some on the way home.
He's 6'3". He was 300 pounds. He's now 215. He's in great shape after college football. He lost all his weight. So he's in great shape. But
that's a healthy meal. He's going to go right. You're not going to go for the leftover Malnati's, which I would eat in a second, whether he had a note on it or not.
Correct.
He's going to go for the macadamia nut chicken. No shot.
Because they're going to get to the house at like 10:30, but to him that's 11:30 because he's coming from the east.
He's hungry. He's got lunch gone.
There's no question.
But your question is that legit? Do you have to write a note or kids come home? Anything in the fridge is theirs. The leftovers right out the door and into their mouth.
Like if he wants a glass of milk, help yourself.
Well.
But stealing my leftovers from dinner? That's a no shot in my world. I would say, hey, is this chicken? Can I have this?
Well, he's going to text you and ask you. Well, you won't be home by the time he's going to want to eat that thing.
Correct. The first thing he does, literally, he and his wife and their son, they have a newborn, just born 6 weeks ago.
God bless. Congrats.
Thank you. They'll come in the house. He'll drop his stuff down. And the first thing he does is goes right to the refrigerator. And that's cool. Help yourself. It's your house. Except, don't mess with my leftovers.
Well, I think you're being a little harsh, Dad.
So you're saying snacks, drinks, anything like that, all good.
All in.
But any entree that you see in the fridge, that's Bingo. Where you take exception.
Bingo. Or at least text me, hey, this really good-looking chicken that's in this container, are you going to eat that, or can I have it? Then I can say, you know what, take it.
How much do you have left?
Two chicken breasts.
Would you be upset?
Well, that could be a meal for he and Mindy. I mean, two breasts, you can build around that and make another dinner out of that, right?
I could. No question I could.
But so, I still say he's got, if no, I you know, maybe callers will think differently. I think, you know, good luck.
So he can crush anything he wants.
Yes.
Like, what if we got pizza last night?
Mm.
And there are two slices left, and I'm like, you know what? I don't eat that at all very often. I'm going to crush that. Oh, my God, where's my pizza?
I think takeout's different. When it's in a box, like if it's in Tupperware, I think it's more fair game. But if it's in a box or like one of those styrofoam little tins, that makes it a little more off limits in my book. Because
you paid for all that stuff.
It's different. Yeah. I think it's different.
And see, I take the reverse. If you bought it from a restaurant, then I know you specifically wanted to go get that.
Mm-hmm.
If mom cooked this, because see, my mom is the only cook. My dad doesn't cook. You mm-hmm. cook, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
So if I look in the refrigerator, I know my mom cooked it, and she's going to allow us to have free run over anything she cooks. So we just take liberty.
312-332-3776. Jose is in Hegwisch. Hey, Jose, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. So we got a rule of thumb at my house. If it's a family dinner and there's leftovers and it's in a big Tupperware, it's fair game, no holds bar. But if it's an individual Tupperware or if it's takeout at an individual meal that someone bought, you got to ask, man. Like, you can't take your liberty on doing that. And you got to ask, hey, can I have this? Who is this? But if it's in a large Tupperware or we ordered pizza and there's a lot of it left. I mean, it's fair game, you know? Even if they don't live there, just to be, it's a hospitality, you know? But if it, like I said, if it's individual and if they don't live there, I want the person craving whatever that is to hit up someone and be like, hey, is this yours? You know, it's just kind of like etiquette for leftovers.
There you go. Thanks, yeah, so Jose. Appreciate you. You too.
So that goes to Tyler's doggy bag. I mean, if you ordered the entree at the restaurant and then brought it home because mm-hmm. you couldn't finish it, that belongs to you. That's your – no one else should touch that. But Jose said if half a pizza's left because that's what the family had the night before, it's fair game. I'm warming up to that idea.
But it's not – wasn't a family dinner. The family is three dogs, me and Mindy. The kids don't live there anymore.
But he's family. He's your son.
Correct.
You've invited him into the house. They're probably maybe going to stay, maybe not. But, I mean, you're happy to see him. I say it's fair game, and I say, God, you better pick up lunch on the way home.
Oh, boy.
That's gone.
Sounds like I'm going to go to Espresso and order an omelet and bring it home with me. let's see. Let's go to Ben on this. You know what? Let's take our quick break, and we'll come back. We got tons of calls. People want to weigh in. 312-332-3776 with Brian. I'm Cap. Be right back.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bow, 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 bow. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
A lot of people reaching out. What's the recipe for the chicken? I will post it on my Instagram or on my Twitter today. I promise. I'll put it up there. It's really, really good. Really healthy. Really delicious.
Will you come over and make it for everybody?
That's a no shot.
Okay.
No shot. 312-332-37.
Did you eat that stuff on a cruise? Was that one of your... No, you don't like cruises.
Never again. I went on one. Never again. Going on a cruise was awful.
I saw you tweeting that. I've never had an inclination. I know some people like are addicted. They have to go every year and can't wait to get back on a boat. I just remember going when I was covering the Bulls and you go across the causeway down to Miami and see those 10-story boats. I'm thinking, who the hell wants to spend 2 weeks on that thing with about 3,000 of your, best friends?
Huh? Right. I had a bet on Phil Mickelson to win the U.S. Open. This is going back several years, and he melted down on like number 18, hit a drive off a tent, if you remember.
Oh, lefty. No $19 million for you.
Yeah. And so we're on an Alaskan cruise. First of all, I'm sure the people of Alaska are lovely. I couldn't stand that trip. I mean, sun never shines. It's chilly in June. And no shot. Yeah. Enjoy Alaska. And I'm sure, again, the Alaskan people.
Not a big Iditarod fan?
Not a big Iditarod fan. Not a big fan of that. If I never go back to Alaska, it will be too soon. And we are on that boat, and this is the infancy of Wi-Fi. I'm just waiting. Phil Mickelson's leading. I got a ticket on him that someone bet for me in Vegas. And all of a sudden, the Wi-Fi goes down.
Oh, no.
And like 3 hours later, my wife's like, hey, did your golf bet win? They had gone on an excursion, and I thought I was going to stay on the boat. I'm not going on that goofy excursion looking at
watch,
eagles.
You're going to watch, yeah.
Yeah, go sit on a boat cold and watch eagles fly. Yeah, I'll pass. Thanks. That's what YouTube's for. Anyway, I'm on the boat. I'm having a few drinks, and now I can't even find out who won. And the next thing I know, I see this headline, Mickelson melts down. Blows U.S. Open. Yeah, that was my experience. Yeah, the food, all of it. I just don't get the fascination with cruises. I don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't. No, thanks.
But we are talking about leftovers. If you bring your food home from the restaurant, you cook a good meal, and it wasn't a family meal. It was just me and my wife. Are those leftovers off limits unless you ask? Tyler, how did you vote?
I said, if your childhood bed is out of the house,
mm-hmm.
then it's off limits. And if it's anything in like a restaurant doggy bag, mm-hmm. then it's also off limits.
But if it's in like a Tupperware
container. But if it's in a Tupperware, I think it's fair game. But if the childhood bed's out of the house, then that's a no-go. Yeah, that's a no-go.
That overrules everything, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Sean, you voted the same way, right?
No, I went the opposite way.
Oh, you went the opposite
way. Yeah, I feel like if you order takeout, then that's mm-hmm. something you specifically wanted and you went out to get, I'll lay off. But if mom cooked it, and it's in Tupperware,
game on.
It's fair game.
Wow. Let's go to the phones. Ben's on the south side. Hey, Ben, what's up, man?
What's up, Cap?
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So I'm in a mixed family, kind of like you. Like, I married a wife. She had kids. We have kids now together. So the two older ones are mine, but they're not mine. But they call me dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the cook.
Mm-hmm.
So the takeout, they're not even touching. They could care less about that. But if I cook, they can barely even say a hello. They're in the fridge, popping bowls open, getting plates like they haven't eaten in days.
Right. And, I don't have a problem if they go in the freezer and like, hey, I'm taking this. You know, it's like a package of steak or a package of, help yourself. Dig it. Just don't eat what I think I'm going to have for my meal today.
But aren't you flattered they want you cooking?
No shot. They'll call me while I'm cooking the night before because they plan to come over. They want to see what they can eat.
Right. What do you
make? Yeah, make extra.
What do you make? Some. Right. Like, I like my leftovers. I'm not an all leftovers person, but what I know I've cooked, like today, I'm going to work out, then I'm going to heat that chicken up, and if it's gone, I'm not going to yell at my kid, but I'm going to be like, son of a. I should have put my name on that. But I don't feel like I should have to.
But you know what? There are some meals that are better as leftovers, right? Like if you make a slow cooker pot roast,
mm-hmm.
I always feel, and you always have a ton of that left over, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you reheat that 3 or 4 days later, I always find that even tastes better. And it's good the first time, but for whatever reason, you know, it all kind of sits there and marinates for 3 days. It's better than on the second go round.
Right, until you come home and it's gone.
The empty book.
And here's the other thing. They will take the food. They will heat it up and eat it, and they take the Tupperware that, you know, still got crumbs and whatever sauce is in there. They'll throw that in the sink.
No,
dishwasher is 1 foot to the left.
Yeah, no. That's a whole different conversation. Living their childhood bed in the house or not, that's just rude. I mean, if you're going to eat anything, and especially if you're not living there, I don't care if it's your mom and dad, grandparents, family, or just, you know, you clean up. I mean, you do the best you can. You might not know where everything goes, but you don't just put it in the sink and walk away. That is
absolutely what happens.
Here was one of the things that used to really bother me when all of us were living in the house. So my mom and my sister are both vegetarians, and we'd get a couple pizzas. One's a pepperoni, one's a cheese. And what would happen is, okay, there's leftover pepperoni in the fridge, and they would take off the pepperonis and then put it in the microwave and keep that for themselves. That's a no-go for me.
Yeah, correct. No. That wasn't your meal.
Right.
Agreed. Let's go back to the phones. DJ's on the south side. Hi, DJ.
Hey, Cap. Text your son and tell him, don't touch your leftovers. Don't touch the chicken. You can drink all my liquor. You can do everything else. Don't eat my chicken.
That's probably what I should do at the break. Just go, hey, Garrett.
Cap. I'm not. It's a thing where you making a mountain out of a molehill. Text your son and tell him, don't eat my chicken, boy.
And you guys touch my stuff, I kill you.
The problem is, I'm 5'9" and a half. He's almost 6'4". Yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna win.
Cap. But my old man used to cook. And he throw down, God rest his soul. But it was like, hey, like if like you say, like the other guy was saying, the pizza or something like that, man, have at it. But and like if it was dinner from Mill Run Theater or the Millionaires Club or something like that, you better not go in that doggy bag. You better not hear you crinkling the paper on it.
Exactly.
You know the Millionaires Club.
Oh,
you remember that.
I remember the Millionaires Club. There was one on Broad. Wasn't there one on Broadway?
No, it was one out at Ford City on Cicero, like 75th and Cicero.
Yep.
And then it was one downtown that we would always go to for Mother's Day, Father's
Day, occasion,
you know, anniversary,
right.
Stuff like that.
And Mill Run, my parents, may they rest in peace, saw Frank Sinatra at Mill Run in Golf Mill Mall. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, where King Spy is now. And you know who I saw at Mill Run? I saw the Jackson 5.
Right.
Wow,
that was
talking about.
They got
I ain't
huge
talking about the Jacksons.
Acts.
I'm talking about the Jackson 5.
Unbelievable.
All right, baby. You all have a good day, man.
Hey, Jay, you're the man. Thanks, man.
Yep.
All right. Here's the question that we've asked. Are the leftovers in the house wasn't a family meal. Are they mine? You got to ask. If you want them, ask me first. Or the kids are coming in from out of town. They hit free run. Just eat whatever you want, even though it's what I want for my dinner last night. 312-332-3776. Be right back. Hey, Chicago, you know, we've all been impacted by COVID, especially in our communities. Help protect Chicago. We need everyone to stay safe and get the facts about the COVID-19 vaccine. Visit chicago.gov/COVID-vax for the facts.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Rolling on, Cap J Hood Show. Brian Hanley with me. 312-332-3776. Twitch is where you can watch our show. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000. Chicago is the channel. And don't forget, we have baseball today. White Sox baseball. We are home for the Chicago White Sox. And they are on at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
What are you cooking tonight so I know what to get tomorrow when I raid your fridge?
I'm actually doing salmon tonight with
hard pass.
Why?
I'm not a salmon guy. I like fish, but not salmon.
Oh, you haven't had my salmon with an orange cream sauce?
Yeah, that's worse now.
Oh, it's delicious, man.
What do you make? How do you make an orange cream sauce? And don't say you put orange in it.
I do. I take fresh orange. I peel it. I put the pieces of the orange into a sauce that has some cream in it and has a little bit of milk in it. And I want a little bit thicker. I use a little bit of Dijon mustard in it. It has a little bit of a kick.
Okay, so
and I literally put pieces.
Cutting down the sweet with the mustard, right?
I put in a few pieces of orange, and then I squeeze the rest of the orange, get the juice in there, let it cook up, let the orange steep into the substance, the sauce, and then I drizzle it over the top of the salmon, and then I make broccoli in the oven. I put a little hot pepper olive oil on it so it has a little kick. I bake it, and then when it's just about done, I sprinkle Parmesan cheese on it, let that bake in and melt. Oh, what a dinner, man.
I'll have the broccoli, but I'm not a salmon guy.
You're better than that. let's go to Darren in Palatine. Hey, Darren, what's up?
Hey, what's up there, Pop-Tart?
How you doing there, Buttercup?
So, look, man, I got my kids coming in. If I got my family coming in, I got two pieces of chicken right there.
Yep,
doesn't matter. Here's the thing. You got to look at it on a flip end, Cap. You got to tell them that, you know what, Cap, that daddy made this. You know, your father-in-law made this. And then now he and can relay to his wife, your sister, your daughter-in-law, I'm sorry, that, look, at this is how my dad can cook.
Yeah, it's flattering.
You got the Lou Malnati. Here's the thing. You get the two pieces in there. You have two adults coming in.
Yep.
I'm going to walk in the door. If I went to my in-law's house, I'm going to think that's for me. I'm going to think that's for us. Right?
Wow. So the two of them are probably just going to crush it, and I'm out of luck.
Yes.
You're totally out of luck. Exactly. Yeah, because but you can look at it at the other end where you can say, they loved my food. They're going to be like, Dad, this was great.
This was delicious.
Oh yeah, they're complimenting you by stealing your food. Yeah,
Darren, thanks, man.
Cap, I've been listening to you for a long while, and I could think that your ego would take that to the next level.
You're unbelievable. Thanks, Darren. I love you. My guy. 312-332-3776. Don't forget, today is NBA trade deadline day. 2 o'clock, we'll know if the Bulls did anything. So keep it locked on ESPN 1000. Listen through the ESPN Chicago app where you get all our podcasts. But anything breaks, the Carmen Yurko show, and of course the Greeny show, and then the first hour till we get to White Sox baseball. But if there's a big trade with the Bulls, Len Casper will definitely announce it. So you can get your baseball and your Bulls news. Let's go back to the phones. And Chris is in Glenview. Hey, Chris, what's up?
Hey, Cap, how are you doing today?
What's up, man?
So years ago, I was living with my brother, and I spent all day at the chopping block for one of their, like, six-hour classes. And it was, you know, you're one of those classes where you're eating as they're making the entree, and then you basically get to take the entree home. So I go home. I spent 7 hours making this dish. I left chopping block totally full and had a great time, but I was really looking forward to eating it the next day. Wake up in the morning, go to the gym, do some extra time on the bike and on the treadmill to burn off in advance what I'm going to eat. And I come back, and my brother's sitting on the couch watching TV, eating something, and I go to the fridge, and the container's gone. And so I yell from the kitchen. I said, hey, where's the leftovers from there? And he said, oh, they were really good. Where was that from? And I yell back. I said, I spent 7.5 hours cooking that yesterday at the chopping block. And he was just finishing the last bite, and he said, I'm so sorry, man. It was really good, though. So from that point on, just have to be very clear exactly on what is available to others.
Maybe
what was it? What'd you make?
We were making mole burritos, or burrito with mole sauce, made from scratch. And then we did fresh guacamole.
Oh, man, I want to eat that, too.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible. It was from what I ate at the class, because I didn't have anything the next day. So.
Wow. Hey, man, thanks a lot. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening. 312-332-3776. We'll get back to more of your calls. We also have to talk about the most ridiculous tweet the Bears have put out in a long time. We have to get into that. So we'll discuss that and take more of your calls. 312-332-3776. He's Brian Hanley. I'm Cap. Be right back in 2 minutes.